Hi, this is Mohit.
And this is Shubhra.
And you are listening to the ongoing conversation.
So a lot has happened since the last time you heard from us. We finally settled on a new name.
And we have arrived at a sort of template going forward for the next few episodes at least. What we are going to be doing is that we will interview each other about products that we use in our day-to-day life. And try to see how well these products serve the roles they were designed to and dissect them. If that sounds too boring to you, don't worry, it won't be. Today, we are going to be focusing on Wigs. Shubhra, why don't you tell us a brief description of what Wigs is?
So, Wigs is a platform on which you can design your websites. And it has a couple of templates that are preset that you can choose, and it also allows you to, you know, design your own elements within the website.
And how did you come to know about Wigs or ended up using Wigs? Give us a little bit of background about that.
So I am an editor for this blog called the Indian Review of Corporate and Commercial Laws, and our website is essentially hosted on the Wigs platform. And we sort of redesigned it recently, and that's when I got more involved in the Wigs platform and exploring it and using it.
So basically, you are somebody who manages a blog, and as part of your job, you also have to look into the web aspect of the things, and that's why you were exposed to this product.
Yeah. I mean, I did my undergraduate and in law, but now I'm a B school student, and more and more I got more interested in the management of the blog, and I took up this project myself.
Just to cut you off here, why don't you take us way back and tell us a little bit about yourself? Let's start with like your persona, basically. Who are you? And because you are the customer, so let's delve into you. Tell us about your childhood, tell us about your hobbies, and just try to be detailed. And if you think you are getting too specific, don't worry, it's okay.
We have to start from my childhood.
Well, anything that you feel like is worth sharing is fine.
Okay. I don't think that we need to go way back to my childhood. I'll just start from maybe teenage years. I'm a very nerdy, studious person. I, finished my 10th and started doing my engineering prep, but I was not interested in that and I was attracted to law. So I went and did my undergraduate in law for about 5 years, and I started working in a law firm. That's where I actually met my friend Deeksha, who is the founder of this blog that I work in, and she sort of, roped me in, and that's how I became an editor in the blog. And my work for the blog usually or typically involves reviewing articles and giving my feedback on the articles and deciding whether we should publish them on our platform
or
not.
Okay, so I feel like you brushed up a lot of parts. Tell us, like you said, you were a nerdy kid. What would you say, what qualifies as nerdy?
I followed a lot of rules, and I was a stickler for rules, a goody two shoes, and also a bit of a big bookworm.
You are saying a lot of words. What were you doing? Like, how did you fill up your time? What were your hobbies? Why don't you tell us about that?
So I used to fill up most of my time reading novels, probably fiction more than anything else. And I used to watch as much TV as I could get away with. Animax used to be my go-to, channel. But other than that, I just poured myself into actually doing schoolwork, and hence I call myself nerdy.
Would you say that the people who went to law school with you had similar backgrounds or hobbies rather and interests as you, or Like, would you say you are different in that regard?
I think some people were like me, but there were a lot of people with different hobbies in law school. I mean, some people were into arts, some people were into debate, and I was not particularly, you know, into any of those things.
So, to our listeners who would be wondering why I am delving into your background so much, people think that it doesn't matter when, like, what kind of background you have in terms of, you know, these product interviews, but it actually does matter a lot. If you think about it, your blog has how many people?
In terms of the number of editors?
Yeah.
We have about 12 now.
So, you have 12 editors, and like, because I'm familiar with the logistics of your blog, I know that this is sort of pet project of redesigning the blog has been taken up by you primarily and your friend Deeksha.
Yeah.
But majorly it has been spearheaded by you.
Yep.
And what it makes me question is that we don't see a lot of lawyers who are really into web designing, at least in this part of the world, in India and around us. And that makes me want to question everything about your past that might have been a trait that sort of motivated you to get into this, because if that is something that is also found in other customers of mine, it helps me realize what kind of people I'm dealing with, so hence what kind of problems they would face and solve those problems better. So moving on from your law school education, when you got involved in IRCCL, what was your initial role and what kind of work were you doing?
So initially, my role was pretty limited to reviewing articles, pretty much the work that every other editor on IRCCL does. You know, we get emails or contributions from authors, and they are divided up amongst the editors, and we read the article and we, you know, give our feedback on grammatical, structural issues as well as the content, whether it's analytical or not, and then make a decision about whether it is to be published on the blog or not.
So, how do you guys get these articles?
So, we accept rolling submissions. We have a LinkedIn page, and we also, you know, have our website where, you know, our submission guidelines are listed, and we also publish a call for articles on this popular website where call for articles are published, called Lawctopus, which, you know, lets people who are in the legal community know about different opportunities, whether it's articles or internships, etc.
And what kind of audience, like, for these submissions, what kind of people are submitting articles for your blog? Like, what would you say, are they students, are they full-time lawyers, are, like, who is your primary cohort of writers?
So, till now, the majority of the contributions have been from law students. We do see submissions from practitioners, like full-time practitioners or people working in law firms, etc. But till date, it has been fairly limited.
So, basically young people who are studying law.
Yeah.
And once you get, so they email you the articles?
Yeah.
And what do you, once you get the article, what you distribute it to your fellow editors, right? You said how many, 11 editors?
Now we have 12.
12 editors. So how do you manage this distribution?
So, when I had joined, the number of articles that we used to get on, say, a daily basis used to be quite limited. And, you know, all of us had access to the same Gmail ID, and we would keep track of the new emails that are coming in. And, you know, one of us would just take up the work of saying that, okay, these are the new emails that have come in, who wants to take it up for review, who has free time, and that's how we would go about it. Before I had joined, actually, one of the editors had prepared an Excel sheet in which, you know, the details of the author and the title of the article, as well as the relevant editor who has taken it up for review, could be, you know, tracked and recorded. But it was not used very much. A couple of months down the line of my joining, I actually looked at that Excel sheet and tried to make it a little more accessible. You know, a simple thing like, you know, adding the link of that Google sheet on the group description of our WhatsApp group, you know, makes it more accessible to people. So I ended up doing that. So, and that's how we track our articles now.
So apart from that, did you also like, so that's how you allocate work.
Yep.
And once, let's say, an article has been reviewed and approved for publication, what is the process? Who publishes the articles? Is it only one person or all of you publish articles on the blog? So how does it work?
So we, at the moment, only Deeksha is the one who ends up publishing the articles on the blog. We have not invited any other members. So there's only one member and she's the one who publishes.
And do you schedule blog posts to go out at a certain time of the day, or you just post it as and when they are ready and then share them? I'm sure you must share them on social media.
So I think when it comes to publishing the blogs on the website, I don't recall Deeksha scheduling the posts. I think she just, as and when she gets time, she just, you know, puts the contents into the proper format and she hits the publish button.
Yeah, because it's important for us to know that all of these people have different day jobs that they are involved in. This is a volunteer organization.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we do have a group of student editors, and but the senior editor... But even then,
they have their primary commitment, which is that they are students.
Yeah, law school. So, yeah, so she, I think, just publishes the posts as and when she gets time. And I don't use... I'm the one who has taken up the charge for, you know, publishing updates on our social media websites. And... I've been looking at different techniques of scheduling posts, but till date I haven't used anything like that.
So once you, so Deeksha is the one posting it, that part I understood. So basically now we have an idea of how your work basically flows. People mail you the articles and then you upload it onto a spreadsheet. And assign editors. I think the assignment part is pretty organic because it seems like everybody just takes up whatever articles have been posted.
No, now we actually have somebody who, you know, goes through, because the number of submissions has increased a lot, especially in the last few months when lockdown was going on, we were getting a massive number of submissions. Yeah. So we actually have a particular person who, you know, is dedicated to ensuring that the new emails that have come in are accounted for and allocated.
So then that happens, and then everybody knows when. So do you have deadlines for reviewing the articles?
Or? Yeah, we have a turnaround time that we try to maintain. So we have a due date for when the article is review. Due.
Okay, and then this article is then. Once it has been approved by the editor, it is posted to the blog and you have no scheduling mechanism. So, understanding the flow, what would you say? Like, when I hear about your entire journey of posting a blog, the first question that comes to mind is, I'm having trouble framing it. So I will try to frame a rough version of it and then we can refine it in the conversation. You are getting, everybody's emailing you, which to me seems a very archaic form of communication. If I wanted to submit a document, generally people use Google Forms or they have submission links or cloud links, basically to upload files where they are neatly arranged on their own. And you know, activity trackers that can track how many, I don't know if you're aware of all of this, but Google Forms is fairly commonplace. As a B-school student, you must use them all the time.
Yeah.
Why are you using an email? Why have you not shifted to a Google Form? And so this is the first question because the email is the first point of contact. But then going forward, why use a spreadsheet and not a better tracking software? Or are you aware of a tracking software? And I'm just doing this to basically realize how technically proficient you are, just to get a baseline, because once we dive into Wix, we would like to have this baseline to understand your interactions with Wix itself, because that's the main part of our conversation.
So,
One last thing. So, moving forward, once you post the article, why have you not automated the, like, you can, like, do you know that you could automate the posting process where if you had a certain article and that was approved and it would post on its own, like, multiple loop. So I would just like you to like to know your thoughts, whether you were aware of these things or have thought of these things.
I mean, as a law student, I don't think I had a lot of information about all the things that you have just said. Okay. Google Forms, yes, but you know, the softwares that you are talking about, or you know, any the other processes that you mentioned, I would assume they are, you know, they require payment to access them or something of that sort. And I was not particularly aware of, you know, these processes or these softwares being available. So let me backtrack a little bit. So IRCCL doesn't make any money, right? I mean, we are just a group of people who run this website because of the love of, you know, writing or editing and the love of the law. And keeping that in mind, the amount of money that we can spend on this is, you know, fairly limited. Right now, I'm a B-school student, so, I mean, the money that I contribute is nil. But yeah, when I was working and the professionals who are working and are part of the editorial board, they sometimes do pitch in, and you know, that's how we pay for Wix and the other paid services that we use. So maybe that is one of the reasons why we don't use a lot of, you know, other software. But of course, there is also lack of awareness. Like, you know, I don't know how I would suggest automating the, you know, posting of a particular article, or a better, or, you know, opt for a better software to track these articles.
Okay. So now let's dive into Wix. So as you have mentioned before, Wix is a website hosting and designing platform for people who are not traditionally web designers like yourself.
Yeah.
So what are the things that you have used Wix for, and can you detail us, like, you have recently redesigned your entire website, for the viewers who didn't know, and relaunched a new version of the website. So can you detail that entire process about how did you start, what was your starting point, did you look at templates first, or where did you start? Like, did you use your existing template as a basis and then you went on further editing it? So what did you do?
So when we started this project, I didn't really think that I would be so ultra involved in the actual design process, because I lacked any knowledge of Wix as a platform. What I started doing was, you know, I essentially engaged my fellow editors in a conversation about what are the features that they think that should be in our website, or, you know, what are the features that were missing in our old website. And we made a list of those things. And the idea was to hire somebody, a web designer, who would then incorporate all of these features and, you know, essentially redesign the blog for us.
Okay.
And we ended up doing that. We, you know, through you, contacted, you know, a junior of yours from Bits, Pilani, who was, you know, doing this project for us. But I understand that, you know, as a web designer, engineers are more familiar with softwares like Figma for web designing. Maybe you can, you know, give a short piece of information for what Figma is.
So Figma is a designing and prototyping software that is commonly used to design websites and applications. And it is basically a sort of an advanced tool for creating custom solutions.
Yeah. So initially when we were speaking to, this web designer, he kept telling us that, you know, he would use Figma and he would design the website for us. And, you know, we had to tell him that we are not interested in moving out of the Wix platform. Like, I had this discussion with the editorial board and Diksha sort of, said that she's not interested in moving the blog out of the Wix platform because for things like, you know, when the website goes down or some issue happens with the website, we can contact the Wix support. And if, you know, we were not within that platform, we would not know what to do.
So circling back to your challenge, if what you are saying is this person that you had hired could work on Figma, and with my limited experience of working with designers, I know it's a widespread designing tool, it's not a niche tool, it could not create a design for you that you could then implement on Wix. The only option available to you was to port your website out of that platform.
So I think that the person who we had chosen for the web design project, he's a web designer, and I think he has limited experience with other aspects of, you know, website management. And so do we. We also have very limited knowledge about these things. So our understanding was that you would have to work within the Wix platform and use the design elements that Wix offers within its website editor. If there is a way of, you know, implementing a design that is made on Figma onto a Wix website, I am not aware of it, and neither was our web designer.
So either this feature wasn't there, or worse, it was there but it was very difficult to discover.
Yeah.
So because that's worse, I say that's worse because if they went to all the length of implementing this feature, then it might as well be discoverable to the user.
Yeah.
Anyway, so having hit that obstacle, you guys decided to not go ahead with creating a custom design on Figma and decided to use one of the templates.
Yeah.
So did you pick a new template or did you edit the existing template that you were operating on? And could you shed some light on how Wix handles templates?
So initially the decision about using a new template or an old template was not mine, or, you know, that decision was not ours to make, because we were so inexperienced with the platform itself. We sort of left it to the web designer to make all of these calls. We essentially just told him that these are the couple of features that we would like to see in the new website, and then, you know, we left it up to him to look at how Wix works and what are the design tools, etc., and just give us the final product. So he decided to use a new template, and I've come to understand that Wix does not allow you to apply a new template to an existing website. So whatever template you use, you are sort of stuck with that. You can, however, create as many new sites as you want with new templates, but you can't apply a new template to an old site. So I think that was his reason for choosing to work with a brand new template to give the website a new look.
But that seems like kind of a problematic feature, don't you think? Like, if it is a product that is being marketed to people who are not that tech, I'll speak up. So if it is a product that is being featured to people who are not very tech savvy, then it goes on to reason that these people would like to keep using the product. Websites change their design over time. It is common for websites to get revamped. And if to revamp a website, the only option was to create a new website, then it's creating an unnecessary hassle for a user who is not tech savvy enough to basically port the website themselves out of the platform.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment there. In fact, I had a lot of trouble with launching the new website on this new template.
Let's play.
Yeah. We can go into the details of that later, but you know, I think if you would want to redesign our, you know, new website ever in the future, you know, you would have to do a lot of extensive changes on your own, and you would not be able to use any, you know, any of the preset templates that Wix provides and just add it onto our website. So until and unless you get very involved and change every little element of design of your website on your own, it doesn't make it easy to, you know, give your website a new look.
Okay. Understood. So once you were aware, you decided to create a completely new website, right? So can you... So how, what was the designing process like? What is essential? Like, we have mentioned this Wix template many times, but what is, can you, like, from your perspective, what is a template? What can you tell people what the editing process is like within Wix?
Okay, so a Wix template is essentially a set of pages that, you know, Wix provides with a sort of, you know, design already to them that a user can just pick and, you know, change the text of it and then launch their website, right? So, you know, if you are running a blog, then, you know, you can select one of these templates. So a template may have a home page and a blog page, you know, and a page for posts. And you can choose not to make any edits to the design and just, you know, publish that website and start posting your articles. But if you can start with a blank template also, or you can choose one of these, you know, already available templates and then change some of the elements, colors, you know, how it looks, etc. Whatever limited features are there within Wix, you can make those changes yourself as well. I don't know if I was very clear in explaining what templates were. But,
I think because this is audio only medium, you did as good a job as I would have done. And there's only two of us. So, moving on. Once this design was finalized, you told us how... actually going back a little bit, the way you talked about the design makes it seem that the design process itself was quite easy and everything that you needed was there on the platform.
I think if you explore the Wix platform a little bit, yes, the design process is easy. But if you want to do anything that's a bit more complex with your design, the basic design process is easy, I would say, but if you want to do anything that is a little bit complex, it gets confusing, and there are some things that I still have not been able to sort of figure out within Wix.
So
let me give you
Don't you give me a few examples of particular design challenges that you faced? Like, you wanted to do a task and then you looked up and found a feature that was really useful to you, and also examples to the contrary where you had a certain task in mind and you were not able to do given the tools within the Wix platform.
Okay. So, I would say, okay, so let's take this example. you know, when our web designer was actually working on the page where we talk about our team, essentially give the, you know, bios of the people who are on our editorial board as well as on our advisory board, he had chosen something called as hover boxes, which is essentially, you know, a rectangular box where you can have a picture of somebody and you can have like a description of who they are. And, you know, essentially the photo is visible. If you take your cursor and you place it on the photo, it suddenly reveals the words that are written. So that's what an hover box is. But that hover box does not work in the mobile version. Right. And I don't know if he was not aware of this or what, but, you know, that's the design he had chosen. And we do want our visitors to our page to also be able to see the bio on the mobile version of the website. Right. So I essentially had to change that design. And, you know, I happened to come across this feature called light boxes, which is essentially when you click on a link and a small dialog box opens, which reveals some contents, and you can close the dialog box. So that's the design feature that I ended up using for our, you know, our team page. But the problem that I faced was that, you know, I wanted the same light box, you know, to be opened for every editor. And we have 12 editors now, and we have, say, you know, 10 plus members in our advisory board. But I had to, you know, there wasn't like a form I could fill and it would automatically populate that light box, right? I had to go and, you know, fix the spacing and you know, where the photo was placed and where the LinkedIn icon was appearing and where the name was appearing.
Couldn't you just copy paste these light
boxes? Yeah, but the formatting gets changed sometimes when you copy paste different words into it. So, you know, I had to do a lot of these minor edits so that everything was aligned, and that took up a lot of time.
So, looks like what you are saying is, first of all, getting back to your hover problem, the hover boxes probably did not work on your mobile site because you can't hover on a mobile site.
Yeah, yeah.
But that speaks to a larger issue that I came across while I was researching for this episode. Wix seems to have a lot of issues with scaling websites across mobile and desktop, because all of these templates are very detailed, but they are essentially sandboxes. What sandboxing is basically it is a self-contained unit, and the entire design tool and everything is built within this unit. So whatever you do within this unit. So it's not like you can edit a bit of code, and like, not that you could have done it, but a savvier person than you can edit the code and make the website run fine on the mobile site. What that leads to is either the solution has to be perfect or it just stays broken. And that seems to have been the case with a lot of Wix users who have websites across mobile, who want their website to be displayed on mobile as well as web, which is practically everybody today who wants to have a website. Anyway, so moving on.
Actually, here I also faced another problem in the sense that, you know, Wix doesn't let you make mobile only pages. Right, it lets you hide elements from your mobile website, it lets you hide pages from your mobile website, but it doesn't let you make a page that is only appearing on your mobile site and not appearing on your desktop site.
But how would that even work?
What do you mean?
Like, you are saying that a page that is only accessible on the mobile browser, right?
Yeah.
I think the problem with that is that mobile browsers are a subset of desktop browsers. That is why you want to hide certain features and certain parts of your website that might not render properly. But desktop, so there might be a toggle to determine if it is a website or it is a mobile browser or a desktop browser. But the problem is, since desktop browser is a superset of the mobile browser, I don't think there must be a reverse setting for websites. Like, I don't think, unless you were specifically, again, designing at a very fundamental level, I think it would be quite difficult to do the reverse.
So, for example, let me share this problem with you. On our desktop website, we have on our homepage a rectangular banner where we post announcements sometimes, right? And some of these announcements are in the form of, say, a PNG or a picture, basically. Now, this rectangular picture can only be hidden from my mobile website, but I can't upload, say, a square version of that picture, which will, you know, be read properly on the mobile site, which is not usually such a rectangular screen, right? But I'm sure that some other method to do this exists outside of Wix, or maybe even within Wix, which I have not discovered yet, because we do see websites which have completely...
You're talking about dynamic scaling, right? Basically, the entire website is displayed irrespective of the shape of your display, right?
Perhaps, yeah.
Elements rearranging themselves to still look fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, like you mentioned about the drawbacks, I think it's easier to find, to talk about the tasks that you were not able to do. But why don't you tell me a bit more about the tasks that you set out to do or that you thought would be really tough? Because I was obviously around you while you were going through this process. And I remember you talking about a few things that you did not know how to do or you thought were not possible. And then you looked it up and you found that there were tools in Wix for the same thing. So can you talk about an instance of that?
I think I've already mentioned this example. One of the things that I wanted to implement was, you know, when you click on a link and a small dialog box opens, and, you know, I just didn't know that they were called light boxes within Wix. So that is one feature that I thought would be very difficult to implement, because when I had tried explaining it to our web designer also, he was not able to find this, but I looked it up on Google and I was able to find this feature and the fact that it can be implemented within Wix. I think in general, the way Wix lets you sort of pick and choose the fonts and the colors, etc., it's pretty simple to use, at least I thought that it was pretty simple to use. So, as I said, when it comes to the basic design process, where you are trying to decide, say, the background color of your, page, or a particular font, you know, fonts that you want to use for your website, if you want to, you know, preset some themes, all of those things are very easy on Wix. I also found it very intuitive to understand where to place different elements. Wix has, when you open the editor, the website editor, it has these margins which let you know where you should place the elements so that the website appears properly to anybody who has, you know, a wider or, not so wide screen. So that is quite easy. Mm-hmm. Some of the features are really easy to use. But if you want, you know, something to be very specifically designed, sometimes you're not able to do that. For example, on the page which has your article or which has your actual blog post, you can add a feature to display the related posts, like three related posts, but you can't really format the way that they look, right? So that's something that, you know, I think is a little bit limiting, that if you really want to control every little detail of your website, perhaps you will not be able to do that within Wix.
Yeah, but that is, I think, to be fair, that is the drawback of every tool that is trying to simplify the process of a complicated task into a series of simple steps. Anyway, let us move forward. Let's say that IRCCL keeps at it and you guys are doing really well. You have, I think, 7,000 LinkedIn followers right now.
Yeah.
And if you move, which is a big number for a technical blog, but 5 years down the line, you have a lot more followers and a lot more resources also. And you finally decide to have a website of your own and move out of Wix. How would that work? Also, I think we missed a point before. You were also telling me how you could not change templates in Wix, so you had to create a separate website. So what happened to the inventory of posts that were already there on your website? How did you get around that challenge? And then to my second question.
Yeah, so I think this is the biggest problem of Wix that I encountered. It's well and good to say that you can have as many new templates and new sites within your account. But what ended up happening was, and this is a problem that we realized much later into the design process when we had completely finalized our new website, you can't automatically transfer the articles or the posts that your blog had on your old website to a new website. You just have to do it manually. There is no way of just selecting all the posts that you had and just, you know, having them migrate onto this new, new website, new design that you have created. And fortunately for us, we had posts that were within 200 in number, and over the course of 1.5 months, I was able to do this manual transfer, which is essentially just copy pasting the contents of the, you know, of every article, copy pasting the heading, copy pasting the URL links, because, you know, your new website will have different URLs. So I had to figure out whether we could redirect our old URLs to, the new URL of the new post that I was creating.
So essentially, you are saying ki you either redirected. Did you redirect all the websites or you copy pasted the content of the blog onto the new website?
Both.
Why did you have to do both?
Because we wanted our old links to work, right?
Oh my god, so you created, like, if I go to an old article of yours, I would be opening that link and then redirect me to the new link where you have copy pasted the old blog to this new place.
Yes.
Okay, so 5 years down the line, now you have a lot more resources and you want to move out of Wix, or maybe you still want to keep hosting with Wix, but you want to create a website of your own. You can hire a bunch of designers and a bunch of backend developers to do this for you. What is the process? Are you aware of the process within Wix that allows you to do that, or what is the scenario over there?
I have not planned so far ahead. Frankly, you know, towards the end, I was having a conversation with our web designer, and I was telling him that, you know, if I knew this aspect of Wix before, I would have done one of two things. Either I would have told him that whatever design changes you want, you make within the old template, so that this manual transfer process, which is the most arduous process, most tedious, we would have avoided that entirely and lived with it. Or I would have, pushed really hard for my team to move out of Wix and, you know, figured out if that was something that is possible. Because every day we add more posts to our website and it becomes more and more difficult to do. I mean, it would be impossible 5 years down the line to manually transfer, posts somewhere else. So I really hope Wix allows us to move out or, you know, Wix implements this facility, because this is one of the features that is sort of like upvoted in the features that are required within Wix.
Okay, so you've gone down the community rabbit hole.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting because this kind of sort of walled garden approach is often taken in consumer electronics, and like Apple is very famous for it. And it works well if you have a good ecosystem. But the problem with it is that if you have a development tool, you want your development tool to play well with all other development tools possible, so that people keep using your development tool. And it has been proven time and time again that the integration with the entire world of tools is like what makes any tool successful. And Wix has taken this approach of essentially not allowing that, or at least not developing that right now from the get-go. And as a web developer, as a novice user, if I were to choose a platform and I was looking at competitors, say WordPress or Squarespace, I would really like, given that there is, I think, some semblance of feature parity between these platforms, I would really not want to choose Wix, because as the venture develops, I might want to move out. Even another interesting challenge that it brings to light is that backend of the website is something that people really, really struggle with. And it is relatively easy to find a designer to design the interface. Okay, and Wix provides you both, right? It provides you with a backend and a front end. So, like, I think if they allowed you to bring your own designs to the table, they could still keep the backend part of your business instead of forcing you out of their ecosystem completely. So there is money to be made over there. On top of that, like, one more thing that I think, these are my closing thoughts about Wix, that I felt they could do was, they are already in this template business, and I'm sure the template that you guys use is a blog, is a template for blogs, and blogs require you to submit and post articles, and Google Forms are a fairly common way of taking in entries. I am quite surprised that Wix does not offer similar functionality of just uploading articles to the website.
I think they have forms that, they have different kinds of forms. So we use, say, a Get Subscribers form, which is essentially, a link where people can submit their contact details if they want to subscribe to our newsletter. So I have not really explored this, but I think they do have a contact form in which you can, upload documents, and you can use a Google form, I think, within Wix as well. I'm not very sure of this. So,
then maybe that is something you could implement in your website.
Yeah, I mean, we had discussed whether we want to accept, documents from the website itself. I think with most law blogs in India, it's just common practice that everybody just emails the blog. So I think that's why we are still comfortable with accepting submissions over email. Mm-hmm. But of course, I think if we were in a different space where it was more common to just upload your documents, we would be able to implement that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think in conclusion, like, I knew, let's say, 20% of what you know about Wix. But after this conversation, what I feel is that it's a good tool because it has clearly enabled your team to create a very successful blog. But the closed nature of it might prevent your blog from growing further. And the certain limitations that it imposes on, changing templates or websites might be like something that is too difficult to code for. But still, it's like a valid customer request. So I think those are serious concerns, and if I were creating a website today, I am not so sold on Wix.
I think I would also tell people to start with WordPress. I think the starting is a little difficult with WordPress. The allure of Wix is that it's so easy to start, easy to get started. But if you want to you know, do something more, sometimes you are restricted. I think just introducing this feature of allowing you to, you know, transfer your data from one site to another would just make it so much more easier to change up your design or something like that. And, you know, the lack of that facility really, really pinches you.
Okay. So I think that is enough. I have run out of questions, and I also think I'm satisfied with what I know about Wix, and I hope the listeners will also be satisfied. This is all from my side.
Yeah, same here.
Thank you for listening.